In the middle of the table, Mrs. Weasley was arguing with Bill about his earring, which seemed to be a recent acquisition.
"With a horrible great fang on it, really, Bill. What do they say at the bank?"
"Mum, no one at the bank gives a damn how I dress as long as I bring home plenty of treasure," said Bill patiently.
"And your hair's getting silly, dear," said Mrs. Weasley, fingering her wand lovingly. "I wish you'd let me give it a trim."
"I like it," said Ginny, who was sitting beside Bill.
"You're so old-fashioned, Mum. Anyway, it's nowhere near as long as Professor Dumbledore's."
Next to Mrs. Weasley, Fred, George and Charlie were all talking spiritedly about the World Cup.
"It's got to be Ireland," said Charlie thickly through a mouthful of potato. "They've flattened Peru in the semi-finals."
"Bulgaria's got Victor Crumb, though," said Fred.
"Crumb's one decent player. Ireland has got seven," said Charlie shortly. "I wish England had got through. That was embarrassing, that was."
"What happened?"
said Harry eagerly, regretting more than ever his isolation from the wizarding world when he was stuck on Privet Drive.
"Went down to Transylvania, 390-10, said Charlie gloomily. "Shocking performance, and Wales lost to Uganda, and Scotland was slaughtered by Luxembourg."
Harry had been on the Gryffindor House Quidditch team ever since his first year at Hogwarts and owned one of the best racing brooms in the world, a Firebolt. Flying came more naturally to Harry than anything else in the magical world, and he played in the position of seeker on the Gryffindor House team. Mr. Weasley conjured up candles to light the darkening garden before they had their homemade strawberry ice cream, and by the time they had finished, moths were fluttering low over the table, and the warm air was perfumed with the smells of grass and honeysuckle. Harry was feeling extremely well-fed and at peace with the world as he watched several gnomes sprinting through the rose bushes, laughing madly and closely pursued by Crookshanks. Ron looked carefully up the table to check that the rest of the family were all busy talking. Then he said very quietly to Harry,
"So, have you heard from Sirius lately?"
Hermione looked around, listening closely.
"Yeah," said Harry softly, "twice. He sounds okay. I wrote to him yesterday. He might write back while I'm here."
He suddenly remembered the reason he had written to Sirius, and for a moment was on the verge of telling Ron and Hermione about his scar hurting again, and about the dream that had awoken him. But he really didn't want to worry them just now, not when he himself was feeling so happy and peaceful.
"Look at the time," Mrs. Weasley said suddenly, checking her wristwatch. "You really should be in bed, the whole lot of you. You'll be up at the crack of dawn to get to the cup. Harry, if you leave your school list out, I'll get your things for you tomorrow in Diagon Alley. I'm getting everyone else's. There might not be time after the World Cup. The match went on for 5 days last time."
"Wow, hope it does this time," said Harry enthusiastically.
"Well, I certainly don't," said Percy sanctimoniously. "I shudder to think what the state of my in-tray would be if I was away from work for 5 days."
"Yeah, someone might slip dragon dung in it again, eh, Perce?"
said Fred.
"That was a sample of fertilizer from Norway," said Percy, going very red in the face. "It was nothing personal."
"It was," Fred whispered to Harry as they got up from the table. "We sent it."